go, baby.
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
We're back. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. If my expression on the camera looks blank, it's because it is. That's the face I had Monday night at Levi's watching that debacle that was the Christmas night game between the Niners and Ravens. 33-19 was the final score in favor of the visiting Ravens. The Niners' first loss in 6 weeks since the team's bye of week nine. Nate Littlefield, of course, is joining me. Nate's in a somewhat better mood. Now, I'm still upset about it, but not as dire. Kyle Ledbetter, of course, joining us in the background there as a producer. Love that man. Nate, it's in 48 hours. And I know this loss feels very heavy right now, especially considering the playoff implications, the MVP odds, all that great stuff. Where is your headspace at right now with the Niners?
Where is it at right now? Well, when it happened, I was pretty, the word I described was butthurt. I was just like emotionally.
You were.
Sad.
I was sad.
You gotta win out now. So that's the issue mm-hmm. that we're facing. It's not fun to lose a game like that. It's not fun to watch all your guys get hurt this late in the season. I know it's nothing critical. You know, not a lot of positives. The positives, I guess, being you turn the ball over, three times in the first half? Four in the first half?
It was, I believe, three.
Five by the end.
Three in the first half, five total.
Yeah, so, you know, you're still in it. You're down by four at halftime, and that's cool. You're like, all right, let's see what happens. I really think the only... Yeah. Horrible interception was the first one. Yeah. The other two were good plays by the defense. I had a talk with Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins today. I produced their show, and Alan's like, do you think those were flukes? I don't think they're flukes. I think they're tips, and a tip, you know, is like a 30%, 40% of being intercepted, yeah. right? So they created those plays. The Ravens created those plays. They took advantage of Brock's height. Mm-hmm. 6 foot guy, 6 foot one, whatever, turns the ball over, and you know, it just happens. It just wasn't going the Niners' way.
Yeah.
It was at first with the safety. I've said this a couple times now. I thought the biggest storyline to take away from that game was going to be the safety in the beginning, mm-hmm. where the referee got in the way. Yeah. And it didn't help that the camera cut to him after, and he's smiling and laughing about it. It is funny. It's a funny situation, but people are going to take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
And people are going to be upset. I kind of thought the Ravens got screwed there a little bit.
Yeah.
Chris Watkins had a good argument about it. He was like, yeah, it's, you know, Lamar probably shouldn't be back 25 yards behind. Like, it's hard to blame
the
ref.
He ran away from Fred Warner.
I don't even know where the ball was snapped, but I think it was like the 20.
Like the 20. He just sprinted around and somehow found the back of the end zone and then, you know, fell over the ref.
It didn't even look like he really... I mean, it looked like he hit him is what I meant to say. It looked like he did, but if you kind of look in slow-mo, I don't know if he did. He got in the way. Whatever. That was...
No, he definitely got tripped by the ref.
It was... Yeah, man,
he didn't have to throw the ball though.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise it would have been a sack, you know.
I think
in the end zone,
the tips
it still was going to be a safety. Anyway.
Yeah. The tips for Brock, man, it happens. I don't care about all this this Cam Newton stuff that's been going on now because we haven't been here for 2 weeks, so we didn't even talk about this.
I know.
Cam Newton called out Brock Purdy and like Tua and stuff, whatever, and he was all mad.
So did Mike
and
Parsons.
Yeah, Micah.
It's been a long day.
That dude makes no sense. His
which take. Debo also pulled the receipts on Cam Newton and Nick's tried to expose
him.
Yeah,
he said he's texting him.
Oh, he pulled up the text and posted them.
Yeah. Oh, he pulled up the text?
Oh, yeah, he did.
That's very funny.
Yeah, and it's in Cam Newton speak where he has the little apostrophes over the letters and stuff, so it looks like Cam Newton texting
talking about Brack Purdy?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's how we pronounce it.
It's a whole thing. He goes, yo, Debo, it's Cam. I'm trying to have you on the pod the next few weeks. Hit me back. Ace Boogie.
Ace Boogie, huh?
Ace Boogie. And Debo replies, who's this? He never has his number. And it just kind of goes with that for the rest of the way.
Okay. All right. Well, Regardless, you got Cam Newton tweeting during the game. You got Micah Parsons tweeting during the game.
The Micah thing was
and
good.
Like so Cam, like there's people responding. I hate that I'm in this group of people. Like as a fan, like there's people that are just take it way too far, and like care so much, and even like memes and stuff. I just don't think any of that stuff is fun or funny. I genuinely don't enjoy it either way. If it's being made at someone else's expense at obviously at my expense, I'm not going to enjoy that. But like either way, it's just not fun for me. I don't have Twitter. I'm not in that world. I'm off Reddit and everything. X, whatever. See, that's exactly.
Don't be that person.
I mean, sorry. Continue.
You have people after the game, fans and stuff, being like, Tom Brady had 4 interception games. Joe Montana had multiple. Cam Newton has had 2 interception games. And it's like, sure, man, whatever.
It's all irrelevant right now.
Who cares, dude?
Yeah.
Who cares? That's not what's happening right now. This is a what have you done for me now league.
Yes.
And right now, Brock Purdy didn't look too good, but I liked, I mean, everything about his demeanor, like nothing, my opinion on Brock hasn't changed.
Nothing changed.
I just don't think, I think he's still growing.
Yeah.
And we're watching it happen.
Which, by the way, happy birthday, Brock, turned 24 years old today. Now officially older than myself, who's 23. So yeah. Brock is older for now, like 3 more months, and then I'll become the same age. But Brock Purdy, 24 years old. We forget that Brock Purdy is a 24 year old quarterback in the NFL. He's going to have these hiccups. He's not perfect.
So. Get him out of the way, Brock, if you're listening, which you probably are.
I think he did. Get him out of the way.
I think so. I think they were the corner for the Ravens. Brandon Stevens, yes, called Brock a...
Marlon Humphrey called.
No, this was Stevens,
okay,
I'm pretty sure.
Go ahead.
Called Brock a position thrower or a spot thrower,
ooh,
where he throws to his spots. And that first interception... Spot throwing is like timing. I hope this isn't the new game manager term, but I think it is a great way to describe him.
It is.
He throws to his spots.
He does.
The hard part is finding out where those spots are in the defense. And the first throw the Ravens did, I mean, I don't think he saw the safety.
He did not.
Which is fine. I mean, I think that goes into the height thing too. Mm-hmm. You got your big linemen in front of you. You got safeties all over. You're in the red zone. It's harder to see.
He was feeling himself after that 56-yarder.
Yeah, so it's... Fine. That was fine after that. I wasn't devastated. I'm like, all right, let's get back into it. Let's go.
I got to ask, the Niners have been so successful in the opening drive this season, either getting a field goal or a touchdown in most games.
Yeah, I think only one time.
I believe you're correct. If I had to look back at the stats.
Turnover?
When they have that opening turnover, like, does that cause for concern? Like, oh, they didn't get out to that early lead. Oh, that's a problem. I mean, there's the history and the statistics with Kyle Shanahan when they're behind and trailing.
Yeah. I don't get too worried yet. I think there's a case to be made. I think if someone wanted to argue with me about it, I'm here to listen for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen the comeback win yet. We've seen them get down by 10, I think, at the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You know, that's not a big hole. These guys, they try not to take their foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it yet. I really, really, really want to see them get the 1 seed. I think fatigue is a major issue for this team right now.
It is.
I think when you're watching Fred Warner miss tackles 2 weeks in a row, you're like, all right, these guys are getting tired. This is this is not where they want to be physically. I think they're right mentally. I think mentally everything's there. And now you're seeing injuries too, which I think these injuries
are a
part of fatigue as well. So... We'll obviously get into this in the last segment, but previewing next week, it's no joke, no messing around, going on the road, and then you got the Rams at home. And the Rams at home, something I've been worried about for about half the season now. I kind of thought the Rams were going to get back on track, and here they are. So
yeah. No, it's
and they're going to want to kill the Niners. They're going to want to kill them.
But the Niners are also going to want to kill the Rams. It's vice versa.
Feel like the Rams are going to be out for more blood. Like, they have more to prove.
And the Rams are fighting for playoff position and the Rams, right now.
Yeah, so they could get knocked out.
The Niners aren't also vying for that number one. They have to win out now. There's no more gap. There's no more safety cushion.
You're more desperate to make the playoffs than you are for positioning in the playoffs.
That's
what I mean?
That's fair.
So, and then Stafford's great. I've talked about how good I think their receiving core is. And... Their coaching is phenomenal, and they have an okay defense, you know?
They're decent,
as far as I know.
They got some performers. But they still got Aaron Donald.
Still got old man Donald.
Yep.
So, I don't know. The Christmas Day, it just sucked. It just felt so long. It felt like such a long game. And Sam Darnold coming into the end was, you know, he just started slinging it immediately. His throws are either great or horrible.
There's no in between.
They're great or horrible.
There's really no in
between. He took a sack late in the game on third quarter, should not or third down, should not have done that.
Yep.
Darnold
experience threw a pick at the end. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the pick at the end I didn't think was as bad because he had to throw, I mean, whatever.
He just had to throw that thing, yeah.
But taking that sack, I think, was the worst thing he did.
Yeah.
And it would have been a nightmare if he would have won that game, well, and then we would have had to do the Brock Purdy because you see, you cut to the footage. If you're watching, you didn't watch the broadcast, so you probably don't know this. If you're watching the broadcast, they cut to Shanahan and Brock talking behind the cart. Like, and you could see Brock nodding, being like, all right.
When?
This is when Sam's in. After Brock steps out.
Oh, I was watching this.
Brock steps out, Sam comes in, and then once Brock gets out of the medical tent and goes to check with Shanahan, they have a pretty decent, enough conversation for the camera crew to cut away and cut back. They're still talking.
Yeah.
Brock's looked like he was accepting what Shanahan was saying. There was no argument. There was no anger, anything.
Yeah.
Shanahan looked like he was being like, all right, listen, everyone's banged up. We're keeping Trent out. Like, Trent's probably going to be fine from, I'll let you tell that story in a minute.
Yep.
But we're just going to rock with this. We don't feel like we're probably going to win this one. So just take a seat.
Yeah. And that's how that went. So I actually know exactly what you're talking about. I watched that conversation go down from the press box. Here's what happened. Brock Purdy went out in the third quarter with a stinger and then went to the medical tent, came back, and wanted to go back into the game. At that time, Sam Darnold had come in and had thrown a touchdown and was doing well. And at that point, Kyle and Brock came to talk to each other, and they were talking for a long, long while. Brock expressed his desire to want to go back in. Kyle said, no, we are banged up. We want to make sure, obviously, long-term goals are more important than short-term. We're probably going to lose this game as it is. We're going to ride it with Sam. We're going to ride it with the hot hand right now. Brock understood it and went and took a seat on the bench. So nothing in terms of overall performance per se, it was that Brock was more so he got banged up with that stinger second week with the stinger, and they wanted to preserve long term, so especially with Trent out and that offensive line banged up because they were down to literally Spencer Burford playing right tackle. That's how bad that got.
Yeah, that
so
the injuries were brutal.
What you saw on TV was pretty much the same thing as what we saw from the press box. And it was a disciplinary, not really disciplinary. It was more of like, hey,
definitely not discipline. I don't think
we're gonna ride with Sam.
Yeah, that's not that's hey, you know. This is nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
This isn't a confidence thing. So I hope all is good with that. You know, it's shaky when you got a young quarterback in there. You know, he can just kind of, you know, you don't know if he's going to get rattled or not. What's going to happen? You don't know if he's going to start seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold. So
I mean, they saw the ghosts of the Ravens pass in this game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what is with the Ravens and the Niners. The Niners don't like playing them. And Lamar Jackson against NFC teams is now 21-1. That's a crazy record for the probably MVP of this league this year.
Yeah. Yeah, an MVP, MVP. I'm going to say, I believe I've been saying on this show, I don't really care about the MVP a lot. It's fun. It's fun to watch.
I mean, McCaffrey can still win it.
And that, I think that would be more cool for me personally, and maybe all Niners.
Kyle's shaking his head back there. It's possible. Anything is possible.
I think it would be cool to see that. I'd be stoked. So I think Ravens have a pretty easy game. Well, they got Miami, right? And then one more. Steelers.
Yes.
So
they should beat the Steelers. The Miami game's a tough one. They should probably win that game because Miami is not a cold weather team.
But that game is now for the one seed now that Kansas City lost.
We're going to see, I guess, what's up with that. MVP, whatever. Yeah. It was fun while it lasted is what I wrote in the notes. It's I want to – we're kind of up against it here, but I want to – I really need to hear this injury rundown from you in the next segment.
We're
going to stay live on YouTube during the breaks.
We are. And before we get to the injuries, though, we have some breaking news Niners-wise, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We will get to that after the break here. Return of the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, back in just a moment.
Malik Monk plays here.
Started left, goes right, steps back, launches the three. Nothing but net. Oh, that was just filthy. Oh, my, that was sweet.
Sacktown Sports is your proud home of the Sacramento Kings. The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
And a handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey, takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right, backwards pass led by Juszczyk, a block there.
Hurdles a man, 10, 5, touchdown!
of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football, Sactown Sports. Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, they. We are back. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter. Kyle shaking his head. I got all the pronouns are included in this show.
Okay, yes. Yes, sir. Zers. Never mind.
I said sir.
No,
sir
never mind.
Sir is not a pronoun anyway.
Never mind.
I don't know.
Bulldoze through that.
We're back anyway. Return to the Empire. We are back. And I teased some breaking news, some pro football Hall of Fame news at the break, and I'm going to break it now. 49ers great linebacker Patrick Willis has been named one of 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. Congratulations, Patrick Willis. One of the all-time greats. Yes.
I think this music is appropriate for this announcement.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
I mentioned in the last the crossover, I got to meet him this summer. Super nice. It's funny seeing pro athletes, like especially football players, like the bigger positions,
yeah,
size-wise, thin down. It's weird to see that. You're like, oh, Pat, oh, you're
like,
looking.
How much slimmer is he than when he
his
played?
His face looked like you could see his bone structure. Not like unhealthy.
Okay, oh, okay. Careful.
Not unhealthy. Like you, he was very defined. Like he didn't need that extra muscle mass on top of him. So that was cool. I also met Trey Lance, too, over the summer. And yeah. I said, hey, Trey, could you do me a favor and win me a Super Bowl? So maybe him getting traded away was his gift to me to win me a Super Bowl. Maybe that's what he meant.
Look
this was
you.
Like early summer. So
did you really say that, Trey Lance?
I swear. I said
oh
that to Trey.
Oh, my gosh.
Lance. I said, hey, Trey, will you please win me a Super Bowl?
What'd you say?
He just smiled at me, laughed, and I just walked away. That's all I said. That's they weren't awesome. Answering football questions, so I just
I
said
think
that.
So.
Yeah, because he was at Eric Armstead's
charity event,
which...
Yeah. Shout out Eric.
He's the man. Dude.
Eric's the man.
Do you want to mention, you think his injury might be a little...
Let's do this now. Yeah, let's do the injury report. So the Niners had a walkthrough day. Wednesday is no longer really a practice. It's more of a walkthrough because of how banged up they are. It's how late it is in the season. They're just kind of going through the motions on Wednesday. Thursday is their big practice day. And this week there were a lot of unfortunate injuries, including this week on the DMP list. Wide receiver Juwan Jennings had a concussion, still in the concussion protocol. Aaron Banks re-aggravated his toe injury.
Dude, yeah.
He is DMP. And then offensive lineman Jalen Moore, their backup tackle, has a concussion in the protocol as well. And then Eric Armstead, of course, has a foot injury and has not played for a few weeks and has not practiced in a while as well. And then the newest one, which I didn't expect at all, Jair Brown has a knee sprain and is looking very unlikely to play this week against the Commanders.
That's crazy. So crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to play safety.
It's going to be one of Logan Ryan or Isaiah Oliver.
Or you just run cover one with one safety and have...
I don't think that's a good idea after what happened with Deshaun Gibson last week.
Yeah.
Respectfully, back-to-back penalties is not what you want.
They are playing Jacoby Brissett.
Who apparently has been better than Sam Howell, which I don't expect, but you never
Jacoby's
know.
Jacoby's not that bad. But I'm looking at the Niners' official transactions on their website.
Yes.
No mention of the Il Manning release.
Yeah, no mention of it, really.
But he was released by the Niners.
He was, right? Yes.
Like, this has to be, maybe it's just not updated yet, but it has to be a formal announcement. So it just, I don't know what's up with that. But so they have signed Joseph Day. They brought Matt Pryor back.
They also signed offensive lineman Sebastian Gutierrez. He is on the practice squad instead of Ilan Manning. Willie Snead also back in the practice squad after one game elevation.
Yeah, he's bad.
Willie Snead?
Yes.
He's a locker room guy.
Yeah,
he's a locker room guy.
He's bad.
Willie had his career.
I'll take Ronnie Bell all day. Yeah, but right now it's like
he's a locker room guy in that he has a locker in the room.
Yeah,
correct.
So all that though, bunch of in and outs with the Niners roster. Danny Gray, though, a name we have not heard or who has not seen a second of action.
He's
this
been
year.
Healthy for a few weeks now, coming back from that AC shoulder sprain. They have not wanted to activate him.
Why? Because of a roster spot situation?
Because of a roster situation. They've had enough wide receivers, and now they're kind of banged up. And Danny Gray, unfortunately, has kind of gotten the doghouse treatment a little bit this year and last year because he's not a great blocker. He's great at all the return stuff and all the being a speed demon, but he's not great at the overall game that the Niners need in the run game, which is kind of why Danny Gray has not gotten activated off of IR until today. His practice window got open, so it is possible he can play again this season.
Well, speaking of returning kicks, terms, you know, special teams.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm blanking.
Ray Ray McCloud?
Yes. Yeah. Why did I blank on Ray Ray's name? I'm so sorry.
I can see where you were going with
it. Yeah. Ray Ray, he should be back, not this week, but next, right?
So yes, he's been on one more game with the rib injury. Yeah. He will be back.
Okay. Ribs are so weird because I'm starting to get a little worried about Ronnie Bell in the return game. He's getting a little sloppy with his hands.
He's been sloppy for a few weeks now.
That could be devastating.
Little Kyle Williams Niners fans, throwback. Yes.
That is the last time the Niners have lost a home playoff game, too.
Yeah.
Was that. And I didn't even realize that till the broadcast said that. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so... Man, just a tough Christmas.
It was a tough injury slate going in on a short week on the road to Washington, a team that, you know, aren't laying down according to Ron Rivera, but, you know, they're also the worst pass defense in the NFL. There is some good injury news, though, Nate. Trent Williams was limited today, which is a great sign with that great injury.
Tell everyone the story you told me.
What do you mean?
About seeing Trent in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. So Trent Williams, this is from reporters. I was not in the locker room at the time. This is from other reporters I've talked to. Trent Williams declined a group interview with any reporters, but he did tell Nick Wagner of ESPN. He did say, you know, also told Eric Branch as well, the Chronicle. He said, you know, I know you want to ask me about the injury. I'm all right. I'll be fine. I'm all right. And lo and behold, for Trent to practice Wednesday, which is usually his veteran rest day, is a very good sign for Trent Williams' availability moving forward for this week.
Yeah. So, Brock's totally fine, right? It's weird he's had stingers to his left shoulder twice.
Yeah. It's, again, you just get hit in the funny bone in the wrong spot, and it kind of, you know, your just arm's weird. On fire initially, and then you're good.
Just weird. So.
I know. I get it. People are worried that stinger is more than just a stinger.
Yeah. O-line banged up pretty much everywhere. Who else you got for us banged up on the O-line?
That's really what I have on the O-line is Aaron Banks and Jalen Moore, the guys that did not practice, and Trent Williams.
Jalen Moore's concussion, correct?
Correct, yes. And Juwan Jennings, the concussion being still in the protocol, progressing. It's very serious, this concussion, it seems. Concussions are very head injuries. They're case to case.
I didn't even see it when it happened.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
None of us really know what play it happened on. It's just that Juwan has made progress, but wasn't able to make enough to be cleared for Monday, and now is still a DNP. That was not a good sign for his availability going into Sunday. They might rest him for one more game.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the right thing to do because you want to watch out for these guys, obviously, with head injuries. And then, obviously, Ambry Thomas, hamstring injury. He was limited today. Javon Hargrave, hamstring limited. Oren Burks, knee limited. And then Deebo Samuel has a neck sprain.
Yeah, because he got in a car crash, basically, and just stood the guy up.
Yeah,
he did. Insane. Dude, it was like a brick wall. That was the hardest hit I've seen Deebo take and bounce. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
It's too bad it was at a sucky part in the game.
Yeah, Debo's fine, though.
Because it was wild that dude, I don't understand the physics of it.
Yeah.
How do you smash into him and he just goes, dunk, and just keeps going?
Debo's got a wide body, man.
It was like a 12-yard turnaround. It should have been like a 6-yard loss, ended up being like a 6-yard gain.
Debo's a Ram truck back there, man. Yeah. He's built. He is built forward. He's built tough.
You just used two different car analogies.
Did I? It's okay. We're just doing great things over here.
Shout out to Rockin' in the chat. It says Trent Williams and Chase.
Definitely going to show up.
Are going to show up. I think Chase Young is going to eat.
A revenge game for both those guys. Trent does not like playing the Commanders, obviously, with the history. Chase has a little bit to prove against them for trading away both him and Montez Sweat, who's been killing it in Chicago, by the way. They are not very good, and they kind of made that
I
that
love
move.
The stat that Montez Sweat is probably going to be the first player in NFL history to lead two teams in sacks in the same season.
I love that, too.
Yeah, that's weird.
That makes me so happy.
Let's talk about this one seed.
Yeah.
Because now the Niners have to win out, essentially, to get this one. Don't have to. I mean, other things would have to happen for them not to win out. But basically, the easiest way is for them to win out.
The Lions are right there with them at 11-4.
But if they tie with the Lions are currently two games back in the conference. They're 7-3 in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
That rhymed.
The Niners.
Niners are 9-1.
Yep.
So, they're four.
And the Lions have a much tougher schedule, too.
Yeah, they do. They got Dallas.
They got Dallas.
It's almost like you want Dallas to beat them.
I mean, you kind of do, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Niners fan, you kind of do want Dallas to beat them.
That's back-to-back fraud bowls.
It really is.
Dallas, Miami, Dallas, Detroit.
A lot of fraud.
And Dallas, Buffalo the week before.
Yeah, lots of frauds going on right now. And then the Lions had the Vikings in the last week of the season, which is no cakewalk either.
It's just, the Eagles, Are they getting it back together, do you think? They barely beat the Giants?
I don't think any Eagle fan is feeling very optimistic about barely beating the New York Giants with Tyrod Taylor.
No.
I'm just being honest. Like, let's be real here. The Giants were literally downing the ball away from having a shot at the end zone late there with a second to go.
Would you take Tampa over Philly in a wild card game?
No,
I can't.
I think I would.
No, I don't think I can get there.
The Niners did beat Philly worse than they beat.
Watch out for that Cowboys Tampa game though. That's gonna be the 4-5 probably.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess the Eagles would have to lose again.
And I don't know if they are. I did tell Kyle Draper last week that I don't think the Eagles are gonna win out. But
I don't know. They're playing the Cardinals this week, and that's I can't even fake that one.
The Eagles just don't look good. They look like a team that doesn't like to play with each other. Huh. And that's the problem, is that you don't have that key chemistry.
Let's rank Detroit, Dallas, and Philly right now. Which three were you the most when it comes to the Niners getting the one seed?
Like, most worried about? Like,
yeah.
Who's gonna,
give me a tier list here. Number one being the most you're worried about.
Start bench cut for teams?
Not really.
Detroit number one.
Detroit gives you the most worry.
Really?
Detroit one.
2 weeks ago, I would have been like, nope.
Yeah, Detroit one. Dallas two, Eagles three.
Eagles three? I think Eagles are two, especially because of the schedule.
No, I just...
I think Eagles have a case for one.
I'm
going
to call it right now. I think the Eagles lose week 18 to the Giants.
So, Nate, you think that the Dallas Cowboys are three?
I think there's a better chance of Philly getting the one seed than Dallas.
Oh, to get the one seed?
Yeah, that's
because,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this is what
right.
The tier list is. Yeah.
Maybe I should move it because they are 10-5, so I'll give you that. Maybe you're right.
That's
Maybe you're right.
I thought it was who they should be afraid of in the playoffs.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
To get the one seed, no. I think the only team that can is the Eagles, realistically.
No, I mean, realistically, Dallas and Detroit both can.
They both could.
But wouldn't that require the Niners to lose multiple games?
Just one.
Niners need to lose one.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, just one because Dallas is, I guess, I mean... Not even a game
and
a half.
They had the tiebreaker
game back.
Them, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, isn't the first tiebreaker head to head?
Dallas is kind of out of it. It's more so Philly and
well, the
Niners,
I'm not saying
Detroit.
The Niners are a guaranteed win out. Like, especially after this week with all the injuries and everything. I think that's a key factor.
Are you not
this
feeling confident against the Commies?
No. I mean, they should beat them, like, no doubt, but I'm not like they're going, it's a lock or anything.
You would have
like
felt that way a week ago.
Yes, I would have. They were healthy a week ago.
They were kind of healthy.
They were healthy, and they were. I mean, they're fatigued, they're tired, but this especially the secondary being beaten up in the O-line, like the O-line, it's brutal. So I think Brissett has a chance of having a pretty decent game here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, are the Commanders trying to win?
I don't know.
Organizationally or the team?
Just in general. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Ron Rivera is not tanking.
But that entire coaching staff is going to get fired.
You think Bieniemy's gone too?
Yeah. Why you the new head?
I think Bieniemy's going to be the new head coach.
Well, okay. That's
Bieniemy's going back to KC.
What a weird,
very Matt Patricia New England kind of thing.
Yeah. What a weird. We're not happy about it, but we're staying together for the children situation with Bieniemy in Kansas City.
Yeah, it really is.
It's so weird he didn't get a job sooner.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories about that. I'm not
I mean, so
yeah,
they are.
That doesn't make sense.
They already fired the defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio.
As they should.
The new ownership group is probably going to fire the general manager,
when
too.
When did Del Rio get the axe?
Midseason. Like,
I want to say after the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not even fair because they had a fire sale with their defense, too. So they're like, okay, everyone's gone. See you, Jack.
I love what the GM just said. I'm going to train everyone. I'm going to be gone anyway.
So
they're going to clean house in that sense, but I don't think it's super hard to gauge the effort levels of teams that are already eliminated from the playoffs.
It really is.
Like, even like sports books have a really hard time figuring out what's going to happen when it's teams who are knocked out of the playoffs.
There's a lot of wishy-washy. They call it the Vegas zone. There's a lot of -1.5s this year. You don't see a lot of -1.5s, and there's been a lot of, we really don't know what's going to happen in this game, and the Niners have been kind of the most consistent of, we know what's going to happen in this game, and unfortunately last week proved that maybe they're not so consistent.
They're still 13.5 favorites over Washington.
Because it's the Commanders. They're the 4-11.
Let's take a little peek at that.
You have to beat the Commanders, even on the road, even banged up, you got to beat the Commanders. They are the worst pass defense in the NFL. The worst.
You just hit on the point. All of this is dressed around the best passing offense in the NFL against the worst passing defense in the NFL.
Correct. And their run defense isn't much better. They're 18th.
Yeah, they are really bad this year.
They're sucky, to put it lightly.
They stink.
They're going to have the fourth pick in the draft.
And they're going to take a left tackle, which they should.
Okay. I can't really complain about that. That's fair.
Yeah.
Or they'll trade down.
I mean, O-line is such a opposite of a commodity.
Well, Sam Howell, I think, has broken the record for most sacks in a season.
Yeah, but that's
44 or something.
Sacks are a blend between quarterback and offensive line stats.
Sure, but I think it doesn't help when you have Charles Leno Jr. playing left tackle for you. Respectfully.
Dude, don't disrespect Leno like that.
I think his name is Leno.
Dude, no, it's Leno, bro.
I'm calling Leno.
He leans with it.
He leans with it.
Yeah, dude, Leno's sick.
Samuel Cosmi isn't doing it for you?
No, I'm not a big Samuel Cosmi guy. I'm sorry.
Was Jay Leno your favorite Tonight Show host?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just wondering.
It was Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon. Anyways, who scares you the most in the AFC besides Baltimore for the Niners? Potential Super Bowl matchup. Browns?
The Browns.
Really?
Yeah, the Browns.
That would be wild if the Browns.
I mean, Flacco.
Because elite quarterback Joe Flacco going into January, man.
Flacco got him in a Super Bowl once.
39 and still cooking. I mean, this guy, I cannot believe that the Cleveland Browns are as good as they are with Joe Flacco under center, without Nick Chubb for almost the entire season, mm-hmm. and they're still able to put up point after point after point.
And both of their tackles are out, and their best guard is out.
They're so banged up.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski, Coach of the Year candidate, 100%.
Which is why your answer is probably incorrect about the Browns being dangerous in the playoffs.
Maybe so, but the Niners are also 1-3 against the AFC North this year. And that's been their kryptonite all years in the AFC North. I do not, the Niners, want to see the AFC North in the Super Bowl if you get there. I'm just being honest with you. I'd so much rather see the Dolphins. The Bills.
Because the Dolphins' defense is terrible.
I mean, they fly around. They got Vic Fangio. He's a good coordinator.
You know, it's not really like that. But I'm curious to see what direction they end up going there because
I don't want to see smash mouth football for the Niners. I don't want to have an out-physical game for them because they get out-physical by these AFC teams.
Especially the AFC North.
Yeah, who are the most physical of the bunch.
Yeah, I mean, no one regards Kansas City as physical.
And just like Rockin says in the chat, Jim Schwartz owns Kyle Shanahan.
That's such a weird thing, but it's true.
It's so true.
So weird.
Lamar Jackson, 21-1 against NFC teams.
Anyways.
You don't want to see the AFC North in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that.
We got to go to break now. We're going to preview Washington coming up.
I'm angry.
I mean, we got a little early in on little Washington talk. I didn't think this would rile us up so much.
I'm mad.
He's mad.
I'm mad.
All because of Leno Jr.
I have to use the restroom during this break.
Okay, well then I'll carry the ship.
Okay.
Anyways, like
we'll be live in the YouTube chat.
We'll be live in the YouTube chat. Return of the Empire. Nate Littlefield has to go to the restroom. I'll be back talking with you all shortly. And goodbye.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yeah, that's us. We're back. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. Making a lot of jokes today in the chat. Talking about cracking
awesome.
A rat and all this weird stuff going on. If you're not in the YouTube chat, we have a great time. We got 20 likes. We got 20 people watching. We thank all of you. Tyler, Jess, Cameron, Rockin.
Handsome. Someone called me
Mega.
Handsome.
Mega. I mean, everyone in the chat, we love so much. And we love all of you listening as well over the airwaves. However you are listening to Return of the Empire every single week here on Sacktown Sports. It's time to talk Week 17. Because the Niners have a job this week. It's not going to be easy. Short week, driving across the country, going to a familiar place for the Shanahans in Washington. It's not a good team, I know. I get it.
They got bad blood, the Shanahans in Washington.
And so is a few players, a la Chase Young and Trent Williams.
Isn't it weird that all the players hate Washington?
I mean,
we went over that list during
the offseason of worst NFL franchises ranked by the players.
Yeah.
And they were at the bottom.
Wasn't Arizona right there?
Arizona
too?
Was the worst, I think.
Washington was worse.
Washington was worse.
No, Arizona made their players pay for lunch.
Arizona
right?
had an F-.
Yeah, Arizona finished worse than the team that reused jock straps in the 2000s and the team that moved to another city because their owner was so cheap.
Well, reused without washing?
Yes.
That's
very much like Disneyland. You know, they do that at Disneyland? Yeah. Well, I guess for a long time, they weren't you know, like the costumes that people wear there?
Oh.
Like the Mickey Mouse costumes?
They were washing them?
No. Oh. And they that would spread certain diseases.
That's nasty.
That, yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was,
an issue.
Anyways, Washington. It's a big mission for the 49ers. Some might call it Oceans 4 and 11.
What?
Oh, that's
get
okay,
it. Oceans
Kyle.
11, yeah, 4 and 11.
That, you should put that in your type 5 tonight at Yuck Yucks.
Sure. Washington.
Jacoby Brissett is going to go off tonight. Or
Jacoby, well, if you, tonight, if you haven't heard, Sunday. Jacoby Brissett has been named the starter for the Washington Commanders the rest of the way. Sam Howell has been benched. They are trying to win games for some reason. I don't know why. They're 4-11. They're not very good. They're the worst passing defense in the NFL. And yet, should there be some concern for the 49ers on a short week, banged up, going across country, Nate?
Yes. 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
There should be worry. When do they fly out? Do you know?
It's Friday.
Maybe Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is fatigue and injuries, and I think they go hand in hand with each other. I think that's going to be the X factor for this team. Brock is going to have to get back on track, and I have no reason to doubt they won't. I think he's definitely going to get back on track.
Especially against the worst defense, passing defense in the
NFL. I think it's a great, for lack of a better term, get back game right before the Rams. Before the Rams in the final game of the season. Which is going to be in San Francisco, which is cool, but I guess it doesn't really matter where they play the Rams.
Yeah, I know. LA Levi's or South or actual Levi's is the same kind of thing, yes, obviously.
Same deal, so.
They might play better at Levi's South.
Hopefully I'll be there with you, actually.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm going to talk with Niners PR coverage tomorrow when I go down there about that.
We can do maybe a little live show on the field, pregame or something.
That'd be fun.
On Instagram.
That'd
or
be fun.
YouTube.
If we get there early enough, yeah.
I'll do it, yeah. Yeah. I'll get there.
Because the Wi-Fi gets a little tricky towards
game. It does. It gets bad there.
It gets really
bad.
But
you know what's cool about being... This is... Now we're going off tangent. But when I was there post-training camp, I went for a game earlier in the year with my cousin.
You did?
Got to use the press Wi-Fi.
Look at you.
As a civilian.
It's nice, isn't it?
So that's cool.
Yeah.
So I feel important.
You got the press Wi-Fi still hooked up?
Yeah, I got a bunch of free food, too. I think we talked about this when Kyle went to his Cardinals game this year. So, the food was good.
Oh, you're going to, if you get to go week 17, you're going to be like, man, this is living large.
Better than the Kings.
Oh, it's.
The Kings.
How about this? They bring out different courses per quarter.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a 4-course meal.
Who gets to be on the field? Who gets to be on the field during the game?
During the game?
You have to have separate press for that, right?
Only Photog and people who work the field during
the game. That's what I thought.
Okay. No reporter does.
Yeah, reporters are in the booth.
I would probably get you a pre. I'll probably get you a pre, and that's kind of what they'll give me is a pre-game field access.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no post. They're really stingy about post.
Sorry.
Anyways, we diverted to talking about week 17. It's week 18. It's week 17. It's week 17. Going to the Commanders.
Now. Yeah.
And the Commanders have not put out their injury report yet, which feels like a red flag. They haven't put out their injury report yet. It's not made available yet. But
when do they have to get it out by? It
should be now.
Oh.
Because I'm looking at the Commanders' website. They have the Niners' injury report, but not their own.
Washington doesn't play by your rules.
No, they don't. They don't play by anybody's rules, apparently. But yeah, the Commanders coming off a loss of their own. I mean, what's new? They lose a lot of games. But what there is a worrisome thing. They almost came back. Recently they almost came back, I believe, against the New York Jets. 30-28 was the score. I mean, they showed some life, but if there was a worrisome part of the Commanders for you, what would it be, Nate?
Just playing for just desperation.
Yeah.
Just desperation play.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the
scary Terry
late in the season. Yeah, I've heard stories about players and coaches who have had a horrible team 1 year. Mm-hmm. They know there's talent. They know there's stuff in the right place that maybe other people don't see. And they maybe win a couple games at the end of the season, and that carries over into next season. And, like, look at Detroit this year.
Yeah, I know.
That was kind of the case, right?
They had that 7-game win streak at the end of last season.
They almost snuck into the playoffs last
year. I know,
if
not for some other trickery.
Feels like that's happening with Chicago right now, too.
Yeah, no.
Chicago. Shout out to the Bears.
Next year,
they're in a real tricky dilemma right now. Do they keep Fields? Do they not?
I think they should.
Yeah, they definitely should.
I think they should. But they have the first pick.
That means they're trading down from number one again,
which might be a good thing because they get more picks.
I guess, but how many picks do you need?
They've done a good job building their roster defensively the last few times. And so I think Ryan Poles is the GM right now, right? He's doing a great job for them. Some semblance of decency.
Oh, dang it. I forgot to bring this up when we were recapping last week.
Oh, gosh.
I wanted to talk about time of possession. This is my soapbox every week. I love talking about time of possession.
Nate, you have the con.
I have the con. Great. Shout out con man. He's just my friend. His name's Con. Anyways, time of possession was almost split 50-50. Niners, 28 minutes, 46 seconds. Baltimore, 31 minutes, 14 seconds. Did not feel like that during the game. I think the last chunk of the game was basically garbage time for the Niners, and they gave them time with the ball that just didn't really matter. Like, Baltimore was like, sure, take the ball, run the clock out. The time of possession for the Ravens was dominated over the Niners. The defense cannot be on the field for as long as they were. When you turn the ball over five times, it's just like you can't win a game like that. When you're turning it over in their red zone, they get the ball and they score next play, like Lamar threw that touchdown. That's unacceptable. The Niners almost had 100 more total yards than Baltimore. 429 to 343. That's insane. 21 first downs to 23 against Baltimore. That is the tale of turnover. That's why they lost the game. That's why they lost to Baltimore. And if they want to win the Super Bowl, if they want to beat easy teams, they don't turn the ball over. That has not been the case all year. They have not turned the ball over very much. They were plus 13, number one in the NFL coming into that game. Couldn't tell you where they are right now. Should have checked. It doesn't really matter. They're probably plus 9. I don't think they did not get a turnover in that game against Baltimore. So the tail of the tape doesn't tell you everything when it comes to time of possession, but the time of possession that mattered in the critical points in the game, it did not go to the Niners' way. So the defense cannot be on the field the whole game. They cannot be backed up against the end zone the whole game. It's not going to fly, especially against a guy like Lamar who can move as much and as well as he does. That's it. I mean, that wasn't...
Well done. Well done.
Kyle Shanahan reiterated some of those points in about 20 seconds, too.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, that was a good soapbox.
Defense really...
And I'll back it up by saying I have a friend of mine who is a Baltimore Ravens fan. He was at the game and having a great time, unfortunately. And he told me before the game, he goes, the only way the Ravens win this game is if they control the tempo of the game and make the Niners play to their time. And yes, the Ravens had about 2.5 minutes more only in possession, but the Ravens really controlled the tempo of that game from the halfway through the first quarter on, or after the safety. They kind of really controlled that game and really made them play to their level and to their standard. And that's kind of what's happened there, is that the Niners got out of their rhythm, got out of their tempo, and before you knew it, the Ravens were up 16-12 at half, and it felt like it was a much more discouraging game.
Yeah, it felt disgusting. It felt so bad, but I was trying to stay positive and be like, all right, still in it. They got a chance to beat the best team in the NFL right now. I'd say by halftime they were... What are you guys smirking about? You guys are like up to something.
Nothing. The chat's going crazy.
What's wrong with the chat?
The chat's going crazy right now.
The chat's fine. Ignore the chat. We got a show to do.
I'm listening.
We got a show to do. We're talking about the 49ers, not the chat.
I'm listening.
The chat's for the breaks.
We're talking about time of possession.
We're talking about time of possession here. Okay.
The chat, Cameron's going nuts.
Just ignore the chat. Okay.
Respect to Cameron.
It's not for the chat.
So the Niners have to control the time of possession against the Commanders.
Completely.
Here's the point.
Here's the point.
Have to control the time of possession versus the Commanders. They have to control it on the road. They have to play to their game. And you know what needs to happen, Nate?
What?
This is my soapbox. Kyle Shanahan, run the dang ball to start the game. Stop throwing five pass plays in a row.
They're a passing team now.
No, they're not. They're a run-first offense. They always have been. They always will be. When they establish the run game, everything else falls into place. Get McCaffrey going. Everything else gets going because McCaffrey can do everything on the field. He can run. He can catch. Damn, he can throw the football for Pete's sake.
Maybe Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to be like you, Dad. Maybe he wants to change his offense.
Maybe he should call up his dad. Yeah. Hey, Mike, what should we do? Run the dang football.
Yeah, I don't want advice from Mike. Alan Stiles said people were coming at him with the theory that Shanahan was trying to hide plays in the playbook. I don't buy that for a second. Niners fans, I guess, were saying that.
What?
I didn't see the proof, but Alan was saying Niners fans said, Shanahan didn't want to show all his cards So he kept his
Kyle
playbook.
Scripps the first 15-20.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that's an excuse some people are making.
They've run plays. They didn't even put in the install. They've run plays in games. It's sometimes that's never the plan to just run five pass plays in a row, but yet somehow Kyle gets into this deviation all the time of like, I'm just going to work with what's hot. Well, and then they get overzealous sometimes, and Brock throws that pick.
So to that exact same point, how much does it change if that pick by Hamilton in the end zone turns into a field goal? Does that change?
It changes everything. The Niners have to score on the opening drive for them. It's been the whole thing all year. A field goal or a touchdown. And really a touchdown is what they need there. They cannot let those things happen against the teams like the Ravens.
That's a fair point.
They have to take advantage every time. They got a safety out of Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And the Niners offense, what do? Stumble out of the block. Can't get anything going. And sure, you want to say it's unfortunate. It's bad luck. They made great plays. They were better than you. That's where we're at right now with the Niners. They got their ass kicked at home against a Ravens team that haunted them from many years ago.
I like Nate's rant better.
I'm hot right now. Nate, where are you at?
I'm just ready to move on from this. I said before the week, like, it's not a must-win game. You know, it'd be nice. It's just the way they lost. And I know we're supposed to be freaking talking about next week, but this one's stung. So it's going to be stuck in my head for a little bit. I think we got to see them kind of turn things around. The injuries, like I said, are worrying me. The run thing is fine. I think it's switching where instead of the run game opening up the pass game, I think the pass game is opening up the run game now. But it's really, really hard to run and pass, for that matter, when all your linemen are gone.
Yeah.
And when you're behind.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries, too.
So.
Which is worrisome. But against the Commanders, who are literally the middle-of-the-pack run defense and the worst pass defense, you have to get something going, right?
Compared to the Ravens, the best defense in the NFL.
Correct. Well, the most healthy defense, though, too.
And the best.
I mean, the Niners, when they're healthy, they were fantastic all season.
You could just say the Ravens are the best right now. That's fine. I don't care about the power rankings, whatever. It's fun when the Niners are on top. It's fun when everyone's saying nice things about him and stuff, and Cam Newton saying dumb things. Like, that's fun, whatever. That's cool. But it's just an irritating loss. It sucks it was on Christmas. It sucks.
It ruined everyone's
how
Christmas.
They lost. I don't know if I've ruined everyone's Christmas.
Anyway,
I was pretty sad.
Predictions,
Niners, Washington.
Yeah.
Favored by 13.5. That's almost two touchdowns. That's wild.
They don't want you to tease this game.
No.
They do not.
I'm going to take Washington covering the spread.
Okay.
So the Niners winning 30-20.
I like that a lot, actually. I have the Niners winning 27-17.
Yeah. Megadeth in the chat saying it just stung so much because of who it was and, you know, the timing, all that stuff. So, yeah, just got to beat them
in the bowl. But like I said earlier, 1-3 against AFC North teams. They don't want to see them in the bowl.
Yeah. Any of those guys. Even
Cleveland, the Browns, and Joe Flacco.
No, even the Bengals with backup Browning.
They don't want to see the AFC North physicals.
Yeah, drop your guesses in that. We got a 38-16. Those are fair. Like, the big ones are fair. 27-17.
They are.
Yeah, you know. I think 10 points is solid for the Niners.
Yeah.
I think that's about fine. But really, that's all I have to say this week. I mean, if you want to listen, I'll be on Styles and Watkins Friday. I'll talk some more Niners.
I'll be on the afternoon show at 4 o'clock doing my update on the Niners, and then obviously recap
When's that? Friday?
Friday
4 o'clock.
Yeah, and then obviously recap after the game on Sunday, and then next week Return to the Empire.
Just because I have a hard time keeping track. What days are you on all the shows?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday is the morning show. Wednesday is the morning, and Friday is the afternoon.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, that's Return of the Empire for the week. Kind of a wild episode.
Really wild. I had a lot of rants. Sorry, America. I got a little angry.
Yeah, America. There's like 20 people listening.
Sorry, Sacramento.
Sorry, greater Sacramento area.
Yeah, got to go. Anyway, thank you all. Return of the Empire.